to the very first episode of Abstracto Talk. My name is Yinka and I'm an abstract artist. This podcast is focused on conversations with other abstract artists of all disciplines to find out about their art journey and how they got to where they are today. I'll be speaking to artists from all walks of life who are either full-time or part-time artists. They may be seasoned or just at the beginning of their career. And in today's episode, I'll be speaking to an amazing abstract artist from London. She's a muralist. Her name is Eloisa Henderson Figueroa. We talked about creativity and a lot more. So check it out.
Tell me, where are you from?
I am from London.
London. Yeah. Okay, my fellow Londoner. What part of London are you from?
Well, I grew up in like Kilburn area, so like northwest London, but now I live in North London, like near Tottenham.
Nice. Yeah. I'm from Hackney, not far.
Woo, Hackney.
Yeah, the best place, in my opinion.
Yeah. Is it?
Have you been there a lot? Not
really. I've not spent that much time together. My sister's just moved to Hackney Wick, so I'll probably end up spending more time there. But
yeah, it's kind of like you usually stay in your area, borough.
Yeah, I guess so, where your friends are.
Yeah, true. Where did you go to school?
I went to school in Angel, because my parents didn't want to send me to a rubbish school in northwest London, so they sent me to a rubbish school in North London.
Are there any good schools in London? Because I think everyone has a rubbish school, unless you went to like a very...
Yeah, I don't know.
Private schools.
I think, to be fair, my school is really good now. Uh-huh. It became like Michelle Obama was like... what's the word, like she was their ambassador. She was the ambassador for the school, so then it all went uphill and now it's just like an amazing school. But when I was there, it was...
So maybe it was like how old are you?
30.
Okay, so it was like a 2000s thing, like late 90s, to get it together, because my school was a bit on the dodgy side as well, actually.
Look at us now.
Exactly. I was just thinking the same. Look. Here we are.
Look,
okay.
And
exactly. What's your family's background? Where are they from?
So my mum's from Chile in South America, and my dad is Scottish. But I've also got a little slab of Lebanese in there from my Chilean side. So I'm just an all-rounder, and anything.
Nice. A nice mix. So I'm guessing you speak Spanish?
Oh, yes, I do.
Yes, you do. Would Sometimes. You like to practice a bit with me later?
No.
No? Come on. Well, are you bilingual? Do you consider yourself bilingual?
I mean, it's more just because I speak Spanish that my mum's taught me. So I've never, I only know, home Spanish. So so when I speak to other people, I never know if I'm using, the correct terms or if that's just, Chilean stuff.
Well... It probably is. Each country has their own slang and the way they speak.
Yeah, exactly. So I always get a bit embarrassed to speak.
But do they understand you? Do they get you more or less?
Yeah. It's more just my own confidence.
Exactly, maybe.
Yeah.
I think as long as you can understand the basics. Now, all the slang and stuff, maybe that's specific to Chile, but I'm sure it's good. Let's practice a bit later. I want to practice. I want to see if my Spanish is good. I've been here in Spain for a while, so let's see if it's up to scratch.
Put you to the test, huh?
Exactly. Technically, mine should be worse than yours. Technically. Okay. So tell me, was creativity always something that was encouraged in your house?
Yeah, massively. Both my parents are musicians, so they used to take me and my sister to every gig that they possibly could. We were always no one ever takes kids to gigs, but we were just sat there this is fun. So it was always, we'd go to jazz gigs or because my dad's a classical guitarist, we'd go to classical gigs, which I always found really boring. But
really?
Don't tell him.
And now?
It's just not for me. It's not my style.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, it's
but
good. You got
I can
to
appreciate
see,
it. Yeah.
Exactly. You got to see a wide range of...
I'm more of a, I can dance to this. This sounds fun and funky.
Okay. So more leaning to the jazz than the classical.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But my parents always encouraged me and let me just do my thing. Mm-hmm. It was pretty good.
So there was never any fear of going into the art world or being an artist? It was always possibility for you?
Yeah, well, I never wanted to be a musician because there's no money in it. So I ended up doing art, which is
No money as well. Yeah. I mean, the arts in general, they're not known for being the most lucrative of careers. No. But if you have a dream, Lisa.
Exactly. Yeah. And now I found my pathway and it's going all good for me. So nice. I think as long as you follow something that you love and then just keep doing it, eventually it will happen for you.
Yeah, exactly. Put all your effort into one thing and it should turn out right. So maybe it would have been okay if you were a musician.
Maybe. Wasn't for me.
No.
I played the saxophone. And then I was really good at like the listening stuff and the jazzy things, but when it got to like the theory and sight reading, like, it was just too much. So I got to grade 5, and then when you get to grade 5 you have to do all this theory stuff, and I was like, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done.
All theory stuff, so the academic kind of learning sides.
And the scales, and like, why is this, and what's a pentatonic scale, and all that stuff. And
ask me. Okay. Well, it looks like you're on the right side of things then. It looks like you chose well. Yeah.
Still creative. It's all good.
Yeah. So, tell me, what's the most difficult part for you about creating? So, is it the deciding what you're going to do, choosing a colour palette? What do you find the trickiest part when you're creating something?
I think, like right now, because I'm doing a lot of mural painting, I like clients want to see the designs beforehand, and so you like the way I do it is I have my iPad and I like draw out designs and then I send them to them and then they let me know which ones they like. But that is the biggest thing for me, because it gets like a mental block, because I'm now doing something for someone else instead of for myself. And then I wind myself up in my head, like, I've had this job that I've been putting off for so long. And I need to design it. You know, it's like, oh, yeah, that will eventually happen. And so it's been in my head for so long that now I've built it up to be this massive thing, even though it's literally just painting someone's wall, which I do every day.
Yeah. So is it like the fear of, or maybe you're not comfortable with them saying they don't like a design, or...
I think it's just I've left it so long that I've just made it up to be... this really hard thing. Like, I've got to send her some designs, like, all I need to do is do some drawing, but I'm just worried that it'll be like the wrong thing that she didn't want or whatever. And I've just left
get
it too
it,
long
get to it get
I know
to
this it. Is what I meant to be doing today.
No self-sabotage, please.
I'll try.
Try. I mean, you've been doing it for how long now, painting murals?
Like on and off for 2-3 years, but like fully maybe like since the pandemic, a little bit before then.
Okay.
But so then, the gap between the pandemic kind of screwed it up. Mm-hmm. But then I was able to work on loads of collage stuff and, like, develop my own practice, so it all worked out. Yeah.
Okay. So, basically, you're kind of still newish to the mural world, so maybe this is why you're still working with other people in that sense. I mean, that you're still new to having designs done for someone else.
And maybe clients. There's a bit of...
Yeah, commissions. Mm-hmm. But it's good because it gives you... Well, you tell me, why do you enjoy doing commissions? Why don't you just stick with your own art and sell it and stick with what you want to do as opposed to doing designs for other people?
Well, I think it's because I get to paint murals, which is the best bit about it. So all I have, like, in general, it's fine. Like, I will send a client, like, 5 different designs and they generally just pick one, or they'll be like, oh, can you just add in something there or do this? So it's, in general, it's, like, very easy for me. But it's just when I wind myself up in my head about it that's when it gets like, oh!
Yeah.
And I'm painting her house on Friday, so I need to get it done today.
Oh, gosh.
Like
the
right
whole
now.
House or just a wall?
No, it's just a wall, and it's like not even that big, but I just need to do it, and because it's been on my to-do list for so long that I'm just like,
once you've done it, you'll see that
I'll be like, I'm free, and it only took me 10 minutes.
And the next job will come along and you'll be
yeah.
Well, it should get better with time, right?
Yeah. Okay. I just need to do stuff straight away, and then I can't like anxiety myself about it.
Yeah. Okay, so you said before that you keep creativity flowing by doing things you love and are proud of. This is part of your Q&A. Talk about that. How did you come to that realization?
I think because I was always trying to do things that I thought I was meant to do, mm-hmm. and then, but doing those didn't make me happy. Like, I was working in, like, film and TV, and yeah, it was fun, but I wasn't developing my own thing or, like, having time to create because it's such long hours. And then I finally started doing my own things, and slowly I got to see what I really loved doing. And then by doing that, I was showing everyone else, like on Instagram, I was just showing what I would love to do. And then people love seeing people love what they do. And then it just like snowballs. So I think if you just keep doing what you do, and if you're proud of showing your work, you're like, oh, this is what I do. I do like colourful murals. And people are always like, oh, that's great. Whereas I used to run, I had my own like screen printed clothing business. And I was always really embarrassed to tell people, and I think that kind of proved that it wasn't for me.
Oh.
But I kind of kept at it, thinking that it would be okay, like, oh, just keep going, I'll keep going. But it wasn't my passion, mm-hmm. so I think I was always just too embarrassed to talk about it, whereas now I'm quite happy to mm-hmm. explain what I do and what I'm doing, like, show people. So
but
I think,
were the T-shirts
yeah.
with your designs, or were they just...
Yeah, so I'd design them, I'd, like, hand-paint stuff. But it wasn't as like, because you're kind of limited to what you can do on a t-shirt, it wasn't enough for me. I wanted it to be like super crazy colourful, and it never was. So I think that was always what made me a bit embarrassed. Like, it didn't really reflect my personality as much as it could have.
Oh, interesting. Because I've seen on your website that you have a lot of stuff with your designs on it, not just that you do.
Yeah, so now I've developed it with my own style, but doing things that I love more, like combining more colours and things together. And so it is still me, but in my old clothing brand, I still wasn't sure what I was doing, so it wasn't enough of me. And that's why I think I was just a bit like...
You weren't doing it to, like...
business. I don't want to tell anyone about it.
Well, you learned from that.
Yeah, exactly.
That was an important learning experience. Mm-hmm. You saw that, okay, this is kind of the direction I want to go in, but I'm not doing it to the full extent, so mm-hmm. I'm going to pivot. And then now you're basically doing the same thing, but on a larger scale and with designs that you like, right?
Yeah.
Great. Okay, so you are your own boss, basically.
I am.
Okay. So how do you find that balance of creating and then... taking care of the business side and looking for clients, or, you know, promoting yourself on mm-hmm. things like Instagram? How does that balance work out for you?
I guess it's quite hard to separate your life from your business because they're so connected. So I do find that I end up working more than I probably should. Or even if you're not working, you're constantly like thinking about stuff. Like, I'll be like playing PlayStation, whatever, and in the back of my head I know I've got like 7 things to design, and tomorrow I've got to get all my paints ready. Like, you can never switch off.
Yeah.
But in terms of getting clients and promoting, I basically just use Instagram. Like, Instagram is amazing for me because I just use it as like an online portfolio. So I just post what I'm doing. This is how I get to my process. These are my collages that inspire my thing. So it's just like putting out there what I do, and that's just how I get people to like follow, and then eventually they're like, I want a mural too. And then people see that you're busy, and then they want a piece of the action.
Exactly.
So yeah, Instagram's exactly. been amazing for me.
It has in general for like artists in the last I don't know how many years, that everyone's able to kind of start their own thing, promote themselves, and basically for free on Instagram. I mean, it's
yeah,
amazing.
Exactly. It's so it's good. Amazing. And you can choose to follow people and get inspired by other
exactly.
people.
Exactly. Kind of in the art community, seeing what other
yeah,
people are doing.
Yeah, and everyone's so, like, I was saying this to someone else, like, I've not had any negative experiences on Instagram, really, which is weird because you hear about everyone just having a terrible time on social media, like, you get trolled and whatever, but I think I've ended up building such a nice community of people, like... everyone just supports you.
It'd be
and
weird
they...
if a troll came onto an artist page and said,
I know,
like,
but people do.
Really? Because I never experienced it. I've never seen it. But I'm sure people do it. But maybe for like the
such a
really,
small
really
amount.
Like big, huge.
I think when you hit like 30,000 or whatever, people can start feeling like they can say things because you're getting big. But right now, I've got like 4,500 followers, and everyone's just so nice.
Yeah, I hope it stays that way.
I know.
Yeah. I know, yeah.
I'll start getting trolled now.
Oh, God. Can you imagine? What would they say? What can you say?
I hate your colours. You're too happy.
Oh, God, losers. You're too happy, exactly, yeah. Basically. You're living your life and doing what you want to do. I hate your guts. You. Yeah.
Oh, God. I mean, you never know. People are sad out there.
Yeah, they do. They do stupid stuff like that. Okay. So, would you say at the moment that murals are your favourite way of expressing creativity? Do you think it will change? Do you think there's something in the future you'd like to try?
I'd say, yeah, they're my favourite bit to do, because you'll do it and then you'll step back and be like, this looks amazing. And you just got like a giant wall with your art on it. Like, it's different to do something on like an A4 piece of paper and then translate that onto a 3-metre wall, and it just makes it just like, I'm so excited. And then everyone can appreciate it as well, because it's like in your face. It's not on a screen, it's not on a piece of paper. Like, you can appreciate fully, like, look at all these colours and they make me so happy. But I reckon, I don't know, like, I move on from stuff quite quickly. Like, I'll be like, oh, I've done that now. So who knows, maybe in a few months I'm like, I am bored of mural painting. Like, I don't know, maybe I'll move on to something else. But for now, it's still good.
It's true, it's good, especially the way your designs are set. It's really satisfying, actually, to see these kind of big, bold blocks of colour, like, on a big wall. It's true. It's, I mean, I'm sure as lovely on paper, but just seeing it there, I can imagine.
It makes such a massive difference.
And maybe I don't think you'll just stop doing murals. You just maybe cut down and maybe do something else, but...
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe I'll do, like, a couple here and there.
Yeah.
Who knows? Like, maybe... This is what my sister said. She was like, so, when are you going to move on to your next thing? Like, excuse me.
The pressure.
Because she knows what I'm like.
Yeah. Also, it maybe depends on... Maybe one day someone asks you to do something that you hadn't thought of and you'd say, oh.
Yeah, exactly. That, like, people always tell me I should do, like, textile, like, fabric prints or, like, stationery. So who knows? Like, if anyone approached me, I'd be like, yeah, sure. And then maybe that'll move on to something else. Like,
yeah. That's the one thing I love about the art world, is that the possibilities are limitless. There are so many things you can do. I mean... So, yeah. So, like, what was the moment when you said, okay, I'm going to jump from just doing art on paper or whatever surface you were doing on to I'm going to do murals? Did the customer come first, or did the idea come first?
Oh, I think it was my godparents asked me, they were like, hey, we've got this wall outside. It looks horrific. Like, do you want to come and paint it? And I said... Yeah, sure, I've never done it, but I'll give it a go. And so they just bought the paints for me. I painted it up, and that was my first ever one. And it was quite a big one, to be fair. Mm-hmm. It was like like the extension of a house. Mm-hmm. So it was like all three walls. Wow. So yeah, it was quite big. And then from there, I was like, ooh, this is fun. And then I was part of I had a studio in a place in Willesden Green, like an old police station. And so I was mates with the guys who ran it, and they just moved in, and it was all just a bit naff. Like, everything was a bit ugly and old. And I said, oh, do you mind if I, like, paint these? Like, we'll go to a recycling place, get some free paints, and I'll just do whatever. And they're like, yeah, sure. And so then I started doing that, and then, I don't know, and then slowly... But it just kept happening.
So you basically kind of fell into it.
Yeah. See, that's what I mean. Okay, so the next thing, I'll just fall into the next thing, and then I'll be like, oh, this is fun.
But look, as we were just saying just now, like, you don't know what the next thing is going to be. I'm sure you were not thinking about murals, and then they asked you to do that for them, and you're like, oh, okay, this is cool.
I think all it takes is one person to believe in you or give you that, that thing to do, and, like, let you have the time to do it and not feel pressured into messing it up.
I agree. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Nice. Okay. Where do you see yourself, or where would you like to see yourself in 5 years? Now, you don't have to give me a big, I will be doing this, this, and this. You can even just say where you'd like to be as a person, or if you'd like to have changed something in terms of the way you approach your creative process. It doesn't have to be something, like, so deep. So wherever you want to go with that.
Okay. I reckon, think of it. 5 years. I think I'd kind of just like to be doing my own stuff. If I could do that full time and I could live from that, then I think I'd be super happy. Like, if I didn't have to think about going to get film jobs and TV jobs, and I could literally just, this would be me just sitting here, collaging, painting. If I could just travel around, do some big scale murals, and I don't know, do a bit of teaching, I'd be like super happy.
Nice, nice. So basically what you're doing now and continue doing it, right?
Yeah, basically. But nice, bigger, nice. Like bigger things.
Bigger.
Like transforming like large buildings. Yeah, just getting bigger and bigger, but still being able to keep doing what I love doing and not get too like corporate or like too big for my brain.
Yeah, yeah. Nice, nice. Okay.
So the quick fire round, do you remember? I've changed
chicken
the question.
Chicken or beef?
chicken or beef. Neither.
Chicken.
No, chicken. It's true. Chicken. Yeah. Why did I say neither? Chicken is true. If I have to choose. Okay. Ready?
Yes.
Quick fire questions. Scotland or Chile?
Scotland.
Chile.
Yeah, Scotland.
Your dad over your mother.
Don't tell them.
They're not going to hear this or see this, are they?
Don't tell my mom.
The last series you binge watched?
Sweet Tooth on Netflix.
What's that?
It's about this, it's like to do with kind of like the pandemic, but it's flipped. And so these hybrid children start like happening. They don't know if the hybrid kids happened or the virus happened, but it's basically like COVID.
Science fiction.
Yeah, and so there's these like half animal, half human kids, and then the world goes to crap, and they're all trying to get rid of these hybrid kids, and so it's like the story.
But they're
of
evil
this one
hybrid
girl.
Kids.
No, they're just normal kids, but the people don't like them because they're hybrid kids, and they think they started the virus. Yeah, but it's really good. It's a really good program.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'll check that out. Okay, your first job.
I worked in a jewellery shop in Covent Garden. I hated it.
Because
it was this like, it was all yoga inspired jewellery, and like everything had a meaning. And it was American, so it's very like, oh my god, all the gemstones have a meaning. And you had to approach every customer that came in, and it was, the shop was always so empty, so you always made the customer feel really awkward, like, hi, can I explain what all these things mean?
Your manager or boss was watching you there.
Hi, sorry to disturb you.
Service industry. Mm-hmm. I don't miss it at all. Okay, nope. Your favourite chocolate?
Lindt. The Lindt balls.
Oh, the dark ones or the red ones?
The red ones. Okay. Or the ones with like hazelnuts in them.
Ooh. I like the dark chocolate ones.
Or the orange ones. All of them.
The orange.
All
they
them.
Have orange ones. Yeah. Okay. Okay, here in Malaga, I've only seen the white, red and black ones.
You need to move back to Hackney, baby.
For some orange Lindt balls. No. I'll get my mum to send me some over.
Yeah.
I love Lindt. Okay, your first concert.
I can't remember because my parents used to take me so young.
With the first memory of first concert. The earliest memory, sorry.
Oh my lord, you have no idea.
Oh, so many.
Maybe in like Ronnie Scott's.
Okay.
Seeing some jazz people, who knows?
Nice.
I remember, yeah, it must have been because... Have you ever been to Ronnie Scott's?
Nope.
It's like the famous, super famous jazz club in Soho, and like where all the famous people used to go. Mm-hmm. And this was before like smoking ban, so it would just be like full clouds of smoke.
Eyes watering.
Yeah, so I remember just being a kid like...
It's all right, Louisa, you're fine.
Yeah.
Okay, nice.
I'm so fine. Yeah, I think that's probably the earliest memory.
Okay. Your favourite cuisine?
Thai food.
Thai food. Ooh. Oh, Dad's coming.
That's my dad.
Hi, Dad. We have a cameo.
I'm doing a podcast right now.
You're welcome to join.
By the way, she chose. By the way, she chose Scotland over Chile.
Oh, he can't hear anyway.
Okay.
Yeah, can you take the dog out, please? Come on.
Hi there.
Come on, little dog. Yeah, because the dog one is coming. She's at the door, like.
Oh bless. Oh bless. Oh God. Podcast gold.
Oh, here we go. This is Olive.
Is it a poodle or a mix?
She's a cockapoo.
Oh.
Yeah, she just got she just got neutered, so they shaved her wrist, and so she looks ridiculous now.
Oh bless, oh bless. What's her name?
That's why she's in this outfit, Olive.
Olive, oh yeah, Olive.
Okay, bye.
Olive was like, "What's going on in there?" Scratch, scratch. You said Thai cuisine, correct?
Yes, love Thai food.
Coffee or tea?
None.
Oh,
I hate them both.
Drink? What's your warm winter?
If I have to, I'll drink a stock cube.
Oh, really?
You know that stuff, bouillon? It's like
Yeah,
that instant stock.
Like Nor cubes. Oh, God. Yeah. But really, are you joking or are you serious?
No, I'm being serious.
Okay. Like a cup of soup? Like, what's it called?
Yeah, like, I don't like tea and I don't like coffee, so why am I going to waste time on them? Yeah, occasionally. But I feel like I'm just drinking a whole glass of sugar.
What's that drink called? Is it in Argentina they drink mate? Well, no, tea. You don't like tea.
Oh, yeah, that's horrible too.
Oh, gosh. Oh, bless your heart.
I know.
You're in England. You need something
what's
warm.
What's wrong with you?
I was like, surely one of them. Everyone's either... Well, that's because you're such an original, one of a kind.
I'll stick with my water, thanks.
Oh, last question. Do you cook? Do you like to cook?
Oh, I love cooking.
Mm, what's your specialty?
I make some really good tacos.
Mm. It's very important what you say next.
Oh no.
What's
tea or coffee?
What are the ingredients in your tacos?
Okay, so I press all the tacos myself because I've got the corn flour and the press.
Nice.
And then I quite like doing some fried bean ones. Mm-hmm. And then you put like cheese and you put the salsa and the salad-y bits. And that's really nice. And you fry, if you fry off some sweet corn as well, and then it gets all nice and brown. Mm. That's really nice. Or I can do, what's it called? Like fried fish. So you chop them up into little bits, you batter them, and then you fry them and put them in there. Oh. Or you can do slow roast. I'm not good with avocados. They make me feel sick. I know, and I'm from Chile.
What kind of weird...
Bad.
I've never heard of anyone having a bad reaction to avocado.
Yeah, they make me feel really bad, and I was like, oh.
Oh,
yeah,
that's
know
a
why.
Shame, because that adds a nice freshness.
Yeah, when I went to Chile, literally everything is slathered in avocado. Like, you go to McDonald's, they've got avocado and everything.
Of course, that sounds like heaven to me. With my breakfast, with my tea, with my coffee, with everything. Okay. Yeah, maybe you've got an intolerance there.
Maybe.
Dodgy.
It just doesn't bode well with me.
Mm, that's a Scottish side, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, what's this foreign thing?
Okay, Louise, I'll let you go.
Okay.
And that's it. That's the very first episode done. Thanks again to Eloisa for being an amazing first guest. She was so kind and funny, and it was a pleasure speaking to her. If you'd like to find out more about Eloisa, please follow her on Instagram at eloisa.artist. Also, if you'd like to read up about more abstract artists, their Q&As are available on my Instagram page at Abstracto Gallery. And that's it. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast so you are notified whenever there are new episodes available. Thanks again, and until next time.